Well, just to review over the past Nekudos, in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw, it's a Nebuchadnezzar's dream. A stone comes out of the statue, and it smashes the statue in the legs, and the whole statue comes down. This is prophecy, this is Nebuchadnezzar, this is very serious stuff. So we talked about a stone. A stone is Yaakov Avinu. The stone represents Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov's a stone. I mean, he's affiliated with stones. I mean, it's not an accident that he put 12 stones around his head and they became one stone. Yaakov's a stone. We define stone as the faculty of a person that gives form to other things. That's how we define the stone. A stone in Chazal, and this is anywhere you can learn a Chazal, there's a lot of Gemaras that talk about stones. This concept, the stone is something that makes an impact on others, and it's very difficult to make an impact on a stone. It's not impossible. Stone is like impervious. I mean, if it's a real good stone. It's a real stock of stone. If it's a quintessential stone, if it's the stone of all stones, you can't make an impact on it. That's the nature of stones. You don't shape stones. You can't melt them. You can't mold them. Even hard metals, you melt them and they become malleable. Some metals are more malleable, bendable than others. There's different alloys. But a stone's a stone. And Yaakov Avinu is a stone. He's called Roya Evan Yisrael. Yaakov's called a stone. Yaakov is called Kadosh. And being Kadosh and a stone is the same thing. That's what we spoke about last week. Because being Kadosh means more than being holy. Being Kaddish means being Muvdal Umufresh. Being Kaddish means that there's the mundane world, there's the Olam Hazeh, there's nature, there's the forces of nature, the physical universe, and then to something on a totally different level. Like Yaakov Avinu is not, he's not on a higher plane than this world. He's on a totally different plane. There's no common ground. There's no common ground between Yaakov and this world. It's Kaddish. We spoke about this. Kedusha. If you saw the shtickle I sent out on Friday, Yaakov sent a message to Esav. Esav, beware. In Lavan Garti, I dwelt with Lavan. Beware. It's really intimidating. Esav, beware. I dwelt with Lavan. Rashi says, what was he telling him? He's saying that V'tayeg mitzvah shamarti, I kept the 613 mitzvahs. V'leh lamadati min ma'ezav arayim, and I didn't learn from his evil ways. So what he was really telling Esav is that I kept tayeg mitzvahs. There was a little akasha that was bothering me. There's a lot of ways of saying that. He could have just told Esav, I kept tayeg mitzvahs. Just say it straight out. Like, what is this with the Ramazan? We just learned Megillas Esther today, Megillas Esther Shir, which is a good thing to learn during Megillas Esther Shir. It's less confusing if you learn Megillas Esther during Megillas Esther Shir. And there was a gzera on Vashti, Shalot Tavo, that Vashti shouldn't come. She shouldn't come. Because of what she did to Akash Farish, so therefore she shouldn't come. So Megillas Starm, he says, what does it mean she shouldn't come? That wasn't her fate. Her fate was to die. And the Megillas Starm says that it's a euphemism. It's a nice word. You don't want to say die. Dying is not a nice word. Death is ugly. It's not polite. It's not dinner conversation. So instead of saying dying, it says she's not going to come. Why? Because dead people don't come. So if you say she's not going to come, that's a nice way. So, you know, Vashti ain't coming anymore. You call her, she doesn't come. Why? She's dead. It's a euphemism. So we noticed that the gematria of Leitavai is 440. Do the math. Leitavo.
31,
40. 431, 433, 439, 440. Which is the same gematria, it's a very easy gematria, as the word 440. What word is 440?
Vashti.
Mace. Lotav is mace.
Mace.
So over there, you had also the building on the S. If Lotav is mace, so...
Tom.
So just say die, you know? The Vilna Gaon asked the Kasha, if Leitava means die, so say die. And the Vilna Gaon answers it. Garti means I kept tying mitzvahs, so say I kept tying mitzvahs. Like, what's the point? I had another Kasha.
Oh, no.
Because it's a Vayava Yaakov Shalom. Later in the Pasha, when he came to Shem, Yaakov came back, he was whole. Shalom, he was whole. So Rashi says, what does it mean? He's whole, just like someone that had an encounter with a bear and a lion, and he made it out of it safely. But you have Yaakov Shalom, he met Esav and Lavan along the way. He was Pagash Esav and Lavan at Baderach.
Garti is Gematria
613. Garti is 613. 613 is, yeah. Garti is Tayag, it's the same letters. Garti is the same letters. So it says, Vayava Yaakov Shalom, he came back, he was whole, he was complete, after meeting Esav and Lavan Baderach. That's what Rashi says. He was by Lavan for 20 years. And Rashi says he met Lavan Baderach. Take a look at the Rashi. It's a Pella, the Rashi's a Pella. Yaakov encountered Lavan, he encountered Esav Baderach. It was a very long encounter. 20 years. So that's what I was thinking, that the Torah could have said, Yaakov could have said to Esav, I kept 613 mitzvahs. I'm a very holy person. Don't mess with me. The Torah chose to say it otherwise. The Torah chose to say it in the poem of Garti. The Pashup Shad is in love and God. See, the Pashup Shad is I live by loving. But what's going on here is anything but the Pashup Shad. In love and God is even on the surface I live with loving, but the place where I lived was not loving. The place where I lived was Tayag. My garti, my where I lived, was not with love. My garti was with the tayag. I lived with the 613 mitzvahs. I wasn't by love. I was with the tayag. In love and garti, lelamadati v'maisav aroyim. I didn't just do the mitzvahs. I wasn't affected by him. You know what I'm saying? I kept the Tag Mitzvah, but the Matim Elisha Barayim, I wasn't affected by him. Because it's possible to do 613 mitzvahs and learn from Lavan's Maisa Marayim. It's very possible that you can be influenced and that Lavan's evil ways can make an impact on your life. And you still do 613 mitzvahs. You do them. It's a lifestyle. It's customary. Tradition. Tradition, it's traditional. You do 613 mitzvahs and follow Lavan's lifestyle. And Yaakov was telling Esav, no, I didn't live by Lavan. My body was there. But I wasn't there. My lifestyle was not Lovin's lifestyle. I wasn't part of his household. I wasn't part of his reality. I didn't live by him. My reality, where I was 613 mitzvahs. So the Torah purposely uses the word garti to convey that. If it would have just said tayag instead of garti, so that would tell me he did 613 mitzvahs. By saying garti, that means he didn't just live. He didn't just do the 613 mitzvahs. He lived them. Garti means he lived the 613 mitzvahs. Because the word garti means to live, and it's the letters of tayag. Sure. And that would also explain why he said that he met Esav and Lavan along the way. Because Lavan was just a stop along the way. He didn't live by Lavan for 20 years. He encountered Lavan, but he didn't live by Lavan. That would answer both kashas. Yaakov Avinu was a Kaddish. That's what a Kaddish is. And he's a Kaddish. He's a Kaddish. So he's telling Esav, you can't fight me because I'm in a different dimension. You know, you shoot your arrows work on this world. I'm not in this world. You can't. We're not in the same dimension. What? What we're going to learn today, Mitzvah Shem, within the next few minutes, is Esav chap does very, very well. Esav was Yaakov's twin. Esav came from the same father, the same grandfather. Esav went to the same yeshiva until he was 15. Esav understood this very well. Because that's what an Evan is, okay? That's a bit of a chazara. An Evan is that it makes an impact on others, but you can't touch it because it's above. So anything in this world, could not make a scratch, a dent, an impact on Yaakov Avinu because he's above. You can't touch him, you can't reach him. Thank you. So the Maharal continues. He talks about stones. Now, if you were creating the Luchos HaBris, let us imagine for one moment that you're creating the Luchos HaBris. And there's going to be the letters of the Torah, which is the most precious thing in the world, but it's going to be given to the Bnei Yisrael, inscribed on some physical matter, some element in this world. What would you pick? If you were making the Luchos, what would you pick?
Papyrus.
What'd you say?
Papyrus.
You'd pick papyrus. Okay, why papyrus?
Because that's what people in Egypt wrote on.
That's because of the culture. It's a cultural reason. Mary, what would you inscribe the Luchos on if you had your choice?
Marble.
What?
Marble.
Why marble?
I like the look.
Okay. Any other opinions here?
Gold.
Why gold?
Because it's precious.
It's precious. It's value. Back out of all the things that were mentioned here, papyrus, marble, and gold, those are all more precious, or more pleasing, or more sensible than rocks. But it's rocks that they were inscribed in.
Weren't the Luchos also on sapphire?
Stones. But there was precious. It was precious rocks, but it was rocks. It wasn't metals. Yes, you know, Naftali's right. It was, you know, if it's going to be rocks, it's not going to be a partial rock. It's going to be.
It's not going to be.
It's going to be. Yeah, no. No, it's just like my Rebbe Gifty used to tell over the Gemara that one who says that the. That the Rishonim, the earlier generations, are like angels, are like Malachim. So if you view them as Malachim, so then you're a person. And Rishonim ki Malachim anu ki bnei Adam. Okay, you're a human being. You're a human being, and you have the seichel to understand that the previous generation was greater, and they're like angels. Rishonim ki Malachim. If you look at the Rishonim like Malachim, so Anuk bnei Adam, so then we're like bnei Adam. That's how I used to learn the Gemara. In Rishonim ki bnei Adam, but if you view the Rishonim as people, regular ordinary people, Anuk ki Chamarim. So that's the perspective of a Chamar. Only a Chamar would look at a Gadol from a previous generation and say that's a regular person. V'leik ki Chamar k'shal Pinchas ben Yair. And not like the Chamar of Pinchas ben Yair. You're a Chamar. So Rabbi said, what's the pshat in this? He said, because if you are so dense, you're so dense, that you take the daily olam, the kadmaini olam, the ones from the previous generation, and they're ordinary people in your minds, so you push the Chamar. But lamaisi, you tell yourself, okay, I'm a Chamar. I'm a Chamar. But yeah, I'm not a regular chamor. I'm like Pinchas Ben Yair's chamor. Pinchas Ben Yair's chamor. Pinchas Ben Yair's chamor is a very firm chamor. When they put tavern, they put food, they put animal fodder in front of it, and mice wasn't taken off from it, the chamor wouldn't eat. He was a frummy. He ibermeistered. Not from chamor. So I'm a chamor. But I'm a special chamor. I'm like Rav Gifter. My Rabbi said, that's a good question. Does a chamar have to keep halacha? Let's finish first. So my Rabbi said, that's what the Gemara is saying. No, you're a chamar. You're not a special chamar. You're just a regular, ordinary one. Like, it takes away all the chamar from the person. Like a chamar should bring a chamar. There's nothing special about you. You are a regular donkey. You're not a special donkey. You're a regular donkey if you think that way. I mean, the Mashal explains in Chulin that it wasn't the donkey's decision not to eat from it. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu protecting the tzaddik. That the tzaddik has a responsibility not to allow his donkey to eat these things. It's a mitzvah on the owner. It's a mitzvah on the owner. Yeah, the owner.
For Mashal, not for that. What? For Treif, no. That was the donkey's decision.
That was what?
For Treif, it was the donkey's decision. But for Meister, that was no?
Donkeys don't make decisions. Now, the Mashal brings a kasha. It's not the Mashal's kasha, but the Mashal brings a kasha. If the donkey was wise enough to know what the difference is between food that was Meister and food that wasn't Meister, so it must have been a very smart donkey, then why didn't the donkey take off Meister himself? He brings this. It's not his question. He brings this. Why wasn't the donkey nice and native beside the eye? Donkeys don't have hands. You can take off Maisa with your eyes. Nice and native beside that. You put your eye in one corner and you mafresh with your eyes. You designate it with your eyes. And then you eat the other side. So the donkey should look at one side, made out of Russia by looking at it, and eating the other side. So Marsha says it's ridiculous. It's not pshat. The donkey didn't decide not to eat it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected Pinchas Ben Yair. It was his donkey. And Hashem protected Pinchas Ben Yair that you shouldn't get an Aveira B'Shege. It would have been an Aveira B'Shege. Because it slipped by him. He trusted the innkeeper. It slipped by him. It would have been an Aveira B'Shege because Hashem protected him. Hashem stopped the animal. But he brings the Mashal brings from Yesh Max and Yesh Yikshu. If the donkey was so smart, so there would be Makrish. Be mafish. Lucas Evan, the Torah was inscribed in stone because that's what Torah is. Torah is mashpia on others. The Torah is perfect. The Torah is impervious to change. The Torah can never be wrong. You can't make an impact on the Torah makes an impact on you. So it's in stone, it's engraved in stone. Dafka stone, not metals, and not papyrus, and not gold. Stone. Just like Yaakov Avinu. The Moral says, elsewhere, he brings a Gemara. So Gemara Maseches Erechin, Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, anyone that speaks Lashon Hara, Roy L'Saklai, it's fit to stone him to heaven with a stone. We don't actually stone people that speak Lashon Hara. But the Gemara says that would be a fitting punishment. So it's a curious statement. Roy, it's fitting to stone him with a stone. Well, you should stone him with a pillow. That's called pillowing. That's not called stoning. Skila by definition is with a stone. That's the dinei skila. Why is the Gemara saying you should stone him with a stone? Roy, let's talk about Evan. Tamamajit. So Maral says, that's Mida connected Mida. The Gemara is underscoring something. The Gemara is highlighting something. There's many ways to sin. If somebody sins with Lashon Hara, he's sinning with his seichel, because the power of speech is what separates a person from an animal. An animal is capable of speech. The animal has a voice box. The animal has... It's capable. Certain animals, they actually do say, they actually speak. It's not a mechanical problem. The reason why animals don't speak is because they have nothing to say. Like the boy with the burnt toast. He was a kid. He was healthy in all areas. Just he never said anything. And the mother brought him to the doctors and specialists. They couldn't. There's no problem. There's no cause. There's no known cause. He's just not speaking. He had no idea. 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5, 6, 11 years old. Never said a word. The doctors are puzzled. The parents are puzzled. In every other area, he's a regular functioning 11-year-old. So one day his mother gave him a cheese omelet with toast, and she left the toast in the toaster for too long. You know what a toaster is? It's one of those ancient things. It's like a metal box. You put two slices in two slots, push down the button. 3 seconds later, they pop up. There's different settings, you know. Right. Light, very dark, medium, very dark, right? So the kids are popped up, mother puts it on the plate, and it's like brown, it's like a little burnt, and the kid says, toast is burnt. The mother says, a miracle, you speak. She said, of course I speak. She said, well, you never said anything before. He said, until now, everything was all right. Animals don't speak because they have nothing to say. They have no sample. Human beings speak because they have what to say. So speech is evidence of seichel. If someone speaks Lashon Hara, they're abusing the power of speech. They're abusing the seichel. The seichel is a stone. Why is the seichel a stone? Because the seichel is chachmah. A seichel makes sense. Something that makes sense is a stone. If you have clarity, let's say you have clarity. 1 plus 1 is 2. It's a chachma. 1 plus 1 is 2. Animals cannot do that. Let's be totally, totally clear on this. Animals cannot make a simple calculation of 1 plus 1 is 2. It's beyond their ability. They can't add. They can't subtract. Simple elementary mathematics is beyond the capabilities of an animal. 1 plus 1 is 2. They don't have a concept of 1, they don't have a concept of 2. Human beings do. It's a chachma. It's a basic chachma, but it's a chachma, it's an immutable chachma. 1 plus 1 is 2. And you know it to be true. And it makes sense. You know why? Because you counted it on your fingers and you did it. You know for sure. You checked, you know. 1 and 1. These 2 fingers, you see? 1 and 1 is 2. My day, we did this. It's a machleit when you staff in the thumb, or you skip the thumb, and the thumb's like the last one. Okay, 1 plus 1 is 2. How many fingers do I have up?
5.
Right. Well, Hashem, see, he knows. Could anyone convince you to change that? Could anyone cause a change in that chokhma, in that knowledge? It's not two. Sometimes it's two. It's a two on a Wednesday, not on a Tuesday. It's 1 3/4. It's almost two. It's
a little more. Wednesday, that was moved to a Tuesday.
Could anyone do that? Why not? Could someone convince you? What?
Because you know it.
Because it's a chokhma. That's what I'm saying. Because you know it. It's knowledge. It's known. Something which is known cannot be changed. It's a fact.
Then why does it say a chazal says the left go right? Fact is, I have right and the left.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Certain facts are...
Facts. Facts are facts. Chokhma. You know, not everything that's called chokhma is real chokhma. The stone is chokhma satira. So you could use 1 + 1 = 2 in order to teach others. Someone didn't know that, so you could teach it to them. We all go through that process. So in the wisdom, 1 + 1 = 2 is making an impact on us. But you can't make an impact on 1 + 1 = 2. You can't. It's wisdom. It's a fact. Chokhmah is a stone. So Lucas Heaven are engraved in stone. And if somebody speaks Lashon Hara, he's abusing the power of speech. Abusing the power of speech is abusing seichel. It's abusing chokhma. So that means he's using the stone for the wrong purposes. Lashon Hara is using the stone for the wrong purposes. So it's royal sakla be'evan. So the Gemara says that's why you should get skila be'evan. When it says the word evan, it's not telling us this with a stone. We know that he's going to get stoned with a stone. The reason why it says the word Evan is to show us he's getting a skila because skila is with a stone. So that's why he deserves to get skila with a stone. Because he abused the power of stone. So that's how he learned Shalit Gemara. Mifnei Madrega, Ramayla Zosha, Haile Yankov. So Yankov had this Madrega. Shu Kadesh. But Kaka Yamahadik Regoslam, he was able to knock out defeat. Defeat of the four Umais. Defeat of the four dynasties. Why the foot? Why doesn't the stone, in the prophecy, why doesn't the stone hit the guy in the head, you know? Why the foot? Hit him in the head. Hit him between the eyes, like David HaMelech did to Goliath.
Moshe got oozed, huh?
Moshe actually chopped his ankle. If anything, that's a raya to this. Just like Moshe knocked his ankle. Although the push-up shot in that is because Moshe couldn't reach any higher. But it's good. It's exactly the same because you're talking about a giant and took him down by knocking out his feet. Okay, regal doubled by a header. The regal is the least complete part of the body. That's what the Maral says over here, and in many other places. In the body, the part of the body that has the least amount of blood vessels is the bottom of the foot.
That's not the nerves, though.
Nerve endings, it's also too. It's the least sensitive part of the body. There are people that they can walk miles without shoes. It's tough. It gets toughened. I mean, there's a test, a Masechta Nazir that discusses whether there's Tumas Misa by a heel. And that's a body part. Kazayas of Amesis Mutame. That's only if it was alive at one time and then it died. But was the heel of a person, was it ever alive? When the person was alive, did the heel have enough life in it that when he died, it's considered like he died? It means that there's a side that it's dead even, the bottom of the foot is dead even when a person's alive. There's very little nerve activity in there, no blood flow. extremely vulnerable. Rahman al-Islam, he says that the foot is the most vulnerable part of the body because it has the least life. If somebody has circulation issues, Rahman al-Islam, the first part to go is the feet. People that Rahman al-Islam have circulation difficulties, like diabetics, so the feet are the first things to go. They have difficulty walking. And if it gets severe, critical, Rahman al-Islam, they might have to get their feet amputated. The feet are the lowest, it's the furthest part from the heart. The heart is the sheresh of chiyus in the mensch, and the feet are they're called pedal extremities. They're pedals because they pedal. And extremities, because they're extreme. It's extremity. The furthest distance from the heart is the feet. The head is closer than the feet. The heart's not in the middle of the body. It's towards the upper part of the body. The feet are the furthest from the source of life. If you want to take someone down, so you go for the part which is close to dying anyway. You go for the vulnerabilities, you find the pressure points, you go for the points, you know. I mean, it's just true in these ugly sports, you know, if you made contact, like they do it in boxing, if you ever made contact and then you landed a blow and, the guy's, either his ribcage or maybe the side of the head, it doesn't matter where. So every single opportunity you get, you just hit it again, and hit it again, the guy's going to try and protect it, you know, and he favors it, just hit it, just keep going at it, kick her again, and until it, you know, just don't, no mercy, just for every opportunity, just hit it again, because that's the most vulnerable place, that's the place you're most liable to get through over there. The legs are the most vulnerable part of the body. Now, what does this mean as far as the four nations? That's in a boxing contest. We have a few examples. You brought one example from Meisher Ben with Og Melech HaBashan. What about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu had an encounter also. Yaakov Avinu had an encounter with the Malach. Where did the Malach hit him?
Gid Hanasha.
That's the leg, but that's the leg, Jordan. That is the leg. Well, he was lame in the morning.
Yeah, but it's not the foot.
It's the leg.
Foot's the leg. All the way at the top.
Grab Yaakov.
Yaakov's name is Akev.
Yes, Yaakov's name is Akev, and Yaakov is the one that smashes the four nations by hitting them in the foot. Isn't that? You're on the Tzvarashen. You're already detecting the pattern here.
He has your promises on offer.
And his thigh. Okay, I don't know when we're going to get back to this. Mitzvah Hashem, I hope that we'll be able to meet over Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is very much to do with the leg.
The legs on the lower.
The seven midas, the lower ones, the ones from the neck down. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, and that's what he said, Hayda Malchus. Chesed is the right arm, Gvura is the left arm. Tiferes is the torso. Netzach's the right leg. Hod is the left leg. And Tiferes is the male, the reproductive organ. And Malchus is all seven together. Malchus is a collective leader. In Shoshana Shankiv, Purim, we say Chua Samayisa LeNetzach. His salvation was LeNetzach. It was like for eternity. In Aneris Alalu, we say Lahaydus Lahal Shimcha Agadal. Today Lahaydus Lahal Shimcha Agadal. So Purim is Netzach, Chua Samayisla Netzach. And Hanukkah is Haid. It's still Haidus Lahal. So Purim is the right leg of the man, of the universe, of the Adam. The Adam. The Adam Hashalim. And Hanukkah is the left leg. Hanukkah is the leg. And Hanukkah, our leg was wounded. Hanukkah, our leg was wounded. The makkah that the Malach of Esau inflicted on Yaakov Avinu came out in Hanukkah. The effects of that makkah came out of Hanukkah. So I'm sorry to leave off in the middle, but we have what to talk about.
Is it fair to say that nowadays we're in it says Parshas Akev, right? We're in the door of the heel.
I heard that somewhere.
You can have that. I'm probably not going to say it anyway.